If you have your Bible, I'd like you to open it with me at the book of Job. It's the first book, the first chapter of the book, and it's the last verse, but one of the chapter. Verse 21 of Job, the book of Job, chapter 1. And when his trouble came, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the gravest sins of our age is a plague of anti-Godism. There is hatred of the only true and thrice holy God. There is attempt to banish God from his own creation. There is an attempt to make God a non-entity and an absolute outsider in this world that he has made. And there is a crusade of no godism which is gaining momentum day and daily to try and sow the dark seeds of atheism, infidelity, and no godism in our land. Some soldiers after Dunkirk were drinking in a public house near Dover. A coarse-tongued sergeant, as he drank his spirits, blasphemed God and said to his drinking companions, "There is no God. There is no God." A young soldier was beside him, and the young soldier said, "Sergeant, if there is no God, who were you praying to?" "In the sand dunes in Dunkirk, I heard you pray, and you prayed, 'Oh God, get us out of this terrible mess we're in.' Who were you praying to?" It's all right to be hard-necked. It's all right to be brave with language. It's all right to defy God when the sun shines and when the weather is fair. But when man comes to deal with difficulties and deal with calamities and deal with tragedies, and deal with catastrophes, then there is a ready acknowledgement of God. I was at the lying in state service that was held in the Great Hall of Westminster this week. And as I was walking through the north door of that great building, there was a member, a very prominent member of Parliament in front of him. And he was surrounded by his friends. He turned round and he said to me, "Ian, you know I don't believe what you believe. You know perfectly well that I'm an atheist, that I reject everything about God and everything about the religion that you hold to." I said, yes, I know that. I'm aware of that. But he said, I want to tell you something. I said, what do you want to tell me? He says, I want to tell you, even with that, something touched me in the House of Commons the other day as you made that speech. I want you to know that. And he wanted his friends to know it too. When we come to face the solemn reality of passing from this scene of time, the religion of atheism will not succor or strengthen the soul. It will in fact drive the soul onto the reefs and rocks of utter and total destruction. But then there are those who say, I'm not denying the existence of God, but I believe everything happens by chance. There is no such a thing as divine order, divine planning, divine providence, or divine protection. There's no such a thing as the fatherly care of the great Father God over his creation. Let me say, the man that thinks everything that in this world happens by chance is an utter fool. This world of ours is all ruled and governed by special laws, all strangely and mysteriously connected together. Your own body is a world of mysteries. Your own body is a mechanism that proves that there is a law that governs all things. Then some come and tell us, we believe in fiat, and you cannot fight it. You can do nothing about it. Fiat will move along this great vast juggernaut, driven with great power. It's unstoppable, it's uncontrollable. It crushes and flattens all that it reaches. And it's moving across the world day and night. What a thing to think our future depends on blind fiat. Any man that thinks that, he himself is blind. Because the very acts of God's providence demonstrate the fact that God cares for his creatures and that God cares for those that inhabit this old planet Earth. Fiat has no purpose, but God has a purpose for us all. Fiat is demented, but the order of God is divine. Fiat is brainless, but the order of God is wisdom. Fiat is utter insanity, but the order of God is the blessed power of God himself. Do not believe in fiat. Believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe also in me. The devil is not captain and king here upon this earth. He can never be captain or king. In our history, there stands another who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the stronger than the strong man has bound the strong man, which is the devil, and has robbed him of his authority. He has destroyed the usurper, and Jesus Christ reigns in the power of an endless life. And then there are those who say to us, all our pains and all our troubles originate from the devil. But that is not so. God permits pain and trouble to work out his own will. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the bitterest cup of sorrow, there is mixed a blessing to deliver you from the foolishness of your sin and the foolishness of a path that leads downward, and to call you through the gospel of free grace to peace with God, a peace that passeth all understanding. Let me say to you, the rod may fall, but Satan does not make every rod that beats the child of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Then there are others who say, the laws of God, of nature, are supreme. They cannot be changed. Well, what do we see tonight? As we approach the royal death, what do we see? Do we see calamity? Or do we see the God that takes the throne forever and orders all things after the counsel of his own will? The house of the princes of Windsor is no different from any other house. The word of God is sovereign in all affairs and in the affairs of the royal house as well. There is no difference with God between the house of the princes and the house of the paupers. God has set the bounds of all habitation. The death of the Queen Mother was at the time of God's appointment, just as the death of us all will be at the time of God's appointment. A gardener tended a very choice rose in the garden. He spent day and night working and protecting it, and it grew to be a beautiful flower. But one day he went down into the garden, and he walked along, and when he came to the flower bed, the precious rose was gone. He went to the servants, and he said, what about my flower, my beautiful rose that I had spent so much time upon? And one of the servants said early in the morning, this morning, long before day had come, I saw the master in the garden, and he stopped at the flower bed, and he plucked the rose, and he put it into the buttonhole of his coat, and he walked away to his library. And the servant stopped, and he said, I was going to say he had no right to do such a thing, but I cannot say that, for the master has the right to do anything, because he is master. I tended that rose that someday I could present it to him, but when his time for taking it came, he took it himself. Nothing happened in any of our lives, but it is governed by God in his grace. You can have hospitals galore. You can have specialists galore. You can have the most clever medical attention. That'll not keep you from dying. For when your day to die has come, and when my day to die has come, nothing will stop the hand of death. The King of terrors and the terror of kings is under the controlling agency and direction of God Himself. There are many lessons to be taught by this nation. There's one that is going to be taught next week. When the emperors and the kings and the queens of this world come to London and look upon the coffin, and although the crown shines with its diamonds upon its top, yet the head that wore the crown is there no more. There is no crown eternal. There is no throne immutable. There is no kingdom unchangeable in this world. And when the captains and the kings arrive in London, and they look upon that coffin, they will be reminded. They'll be reminded that princes, the same clay must be your bed. In spite of all your towers, the tall, the mighty and majestic head must be as low as ours. Yes, a lesson taught to those that rule this earth of ours. A lesson that God gives and God takes away. And the man who knows the joy and happiness of God says, blessed to the work of God. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't expect this earth of ours to weep when the stars are not seen. The stars are still there, although they're not seen. I don't expect this planet to mourn when the sun is not seen in the heavens. The sun is still there. And no matter what happens in this world of ours, changes all around us, difficulties besetting our ways, men's hearts feeling them for fear, looking for those things that are coming on this world of ours, there is one thing sure, that God is upon His everlasting throne, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Yes, the princes and presidents and prime ministers and parliamentarians will come, and the dignitaries and the dictators and the generals and the admirals and their marshals will come, but they too will learn the lesson. They will learn the lesson that death is no respecter of persons. They too will learn the lesson that Job spoke of in the 14th chapter of his book. Man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The captains leave the banqueting chamber. The kings leave the banqueting chamber. But all men, to the most common and to the one the most reviled, will also leave the chamber of life. We are going down the valley one by one with our faces towards the setting of the sun, down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death and silence onward flows. We are going down the valley. We are going down the valley. One by one. There is a word for every individual in this death. Would to God we would heed that word.
There is a word to me as a preacher. I must be diligent about my business. The blood of souls is upon me. I must discharge the solemn commission that God has entrusted me with. If the blood is not cleansed from my hands, then these souls will die and enter into eternal damnation in a lost sinner's hell. But in the day of judgment, as a preacher of the holy word who was unfaithful, I will answer. I am instructed by this death to arise, to ask for a coat of zeal, a passion that's undying, a fire that cannot be quenched, so that I might go forth to snatch men and women as brands from the burning and save them from the wrath to come. But it not only speaks to the preacher, it speaks to the congregation. Careless souls who have listened to the word of the gospel for many, many years have heard the truth of that great verse that sums it all up. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But they have refused to listen. They remain outside the reach of grace, outside the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. They are in the company of Felix. They say, when I have a more convenient day, gospel preacher, I'll call for you. But the convenient day never came, and Felix died as he lived, a lost soul. Or they're in the company of King Agrippa, who cried out, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he was only an almost Christian. And as Mr. Spurgeon used to say, almost a Christian is to be altogether damned. And how true it is. There's no such thing as an almost Christian. Almost, but lost. When you reach your deathbed, as you will, you will learn that what I have said this night is the eternal truth of the gospel of Christ. That man need to prepare to die. Prepare to meet their God. Prepare for the judgment. And prepare for the sentence that will last and can never be changed. I trust that we will be learners in the school of the gospel tonight. And we will not tarry in argument, but we will submit ourselves before a thrice holy God. Bless his name for sending his Son to be our Savior and our Lord. And come to the cross and wash in the Redeemer's blood and be clean for time and for eternity. May God grant that it will be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of thy holy word. Use it to the salvation of those who are lost and to the strengthening of those that are saved. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And Amen.